Blog Talk Radio.
Own your life.
What's up? I'm Tito Ortiz.
This is Rob Van Dam.
Hi, this is Mark Merrill.
Hi, my name is Ray Lloyd, Glacier in World Championship Wrestling.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and I just want to say that DDP's yoga pretty much changed my life.
I was 37 years old, and basically I was just taking a pass on everything and letting life pass me by.
You gotta get your hands.
Diamond Cutter. Take it back. Bring your arms out to a T. Clench your fist. Hulk it up. Woo!
Cause it's time. It's your time.
I feel better now at 40 than I ever have my entire life. And that's not just a cliche. It's the truth. So thank you.
I am stronger now. I'm going to be 52 years old. I'm stronger now than I've ever been in my entire life. It's absolutely incredible.
DDP Yoga changed my life.
And it will.
DDP Yoga. It ain't your mama's yoga.
Ah! High five.
Mama's Wednesday. It's 9 p.m., April the 25th, and you're listening to one of the best damn radio shows on the internet, DDP Radio, with me, Sparky,
Robert,
and the beautiful Stacy. What's up, team?
Oh, not
hi,
much,
how you doing?
We're doing okay, I think. I have one crutch, Robert has the other, and we hope you pick us up when we fall down. We have been limping through this week. It's been a hell of a week for me at work. I've been getting all kinds of stuff coming to me. For anybody that doesn't know, I'm a glamorous business analyst, and I get to look at numbers and write macros and do all kinds of stuff all day. And yes, Katie, I said, it ain't your mama's Wednesday. And it definitely wasn't my mama's work week. But I did get a kick out of something today. If anybody is in the corporate environment has ever had to sit in a presentation, give a presentation, you know the kiss of death is sitting up there when you're watching somebody. Or you're giving the presentation and there's absolutely no action from the audience because either you suck, the presentation sucks, or the audience sucks, and you're down there for a full hour of hell. I don't know if you two guys have ever experienced that.
But
it sounds tremendous.
I mean, but in the wonderful world of corporate, I have. But today, that changed. We actually had our trainer give us a fabulous presentation, and she was actually doing a presentation on how not to do a presentation, but very, very winner stuff, and I'm dying here because all the guys in the room at one time did a chuckling quietly to themselves, winked and looked at each other. She throws a chart up and describes on how to do a chart, and typically when you do those kinds of things, if you've ever been in business school, have gone to a business class, the one thing they always use is a product. Can you guys help me out?
The widget.
The widget, right. I don't think she's ever heard of a widget or she forgot what a widget was because on this chart it was balls. And she chose colors for the two lines of balls. Red balls and blue balls. And so right in the middle of the presentation, while she was doing phenomenal, we all hit that, and the room just kind of had this, kind of quiet energy where everybody was just about to bust out laughing. But I felt so bad because she's looking at us looking all confused. And I didn't even have the heart to go up to her afterwards and just be like, you might want to change that to widget.
Wow.
So, and I know she's going to be giving it again because this is from our training department. She has that whole thing templated. So you know what? And I might not even not tell her because that might ruin the surprise for everybody else in every other class that she's ever going to be in. And give that presentation to.
It'll make it much more survivable for everybody else. So that might be a good thing.
Exactly. So if she's ever fallen down in the presentation one day, I know at least when she hits the blue ball product presentation, everybody's going to get a kick out of it. guys, we'll get a little chuckle. So, but that was kind of my that's been kind of my week this week, and been getting beat up and whatnot. But that was a little bit of humor to end it. So, wow, looks like things have been hopping on Team DDP Yoga.
Oh yeah.
So
I finally caught up with my welcomes. It took me like 3 solid days.
Yeah. It's kicking the shit out of me. I actually looked at my inbox today, and I probably have at least 80-plus to do. I haven't looked at it in a week and a half because typically, and I hope no one from work is watching, other than the past week, I typically try to hit that stuff in between, like, little breaks of work and stuff. And, man, there's just been no time for it between kids, home, and work. So, sorry, guys. If you're all new and you're listening, welcome. That's my Sparky welcome. You're listening to us, and this is DDP Radio, and we're here to talk to you about everything that is DDP Yoga. And if you want to give us a call and you have a question, please do 347-994-1216. Or Stacy, where else can they go?
Well, they can go to the chat room and post a question on ddpradio.com.
That's it, guys.
Is that right?
Yep, that's absolutely right. And everybody listening, and if you're listening now live and you know somebody that you said, oh, I'd love you to listen to that show. It did a lot for me, or DDP Yoga's done a lot for me, but they can't listen live at 9 p.m. on a Wednesday night. Robert, they can download it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got it up on ddpradio.com, and also it's up on the iTunes podcast. We don't have every single show up on the podcast, but we have a majority of them. We definitely have the highlights up there.
Yeah, the best of the best is on iTunes. So for all you people listening, if you're a wrestling fan, you're going to get a Chris Jericho episode up there. You're going to get some Ray Lloyd, Glacier episodes up there. You're going to get Mark Miro, and the thing is when you listen to those guys, I mean, you know, Jericho's like the million-dollar man for DDP Yoga right now, just blasting it, I mean. But if you want to listen to two guys who are blasting it but also are motivation and inspiration, just soaking in it, Ray Lloyd and Mark Miro, those two are great guys.
Mm-hmm. And we also have Perry Saturn up there and Crowbar, who did one hell of a show.
Oh, yeah, man. I keep forgetting that I mean, DDP's been lining guys up so often that it's so hard to keep up with them.
Yeah.
So.
And speaking of wrestling, Katie Stifler just announced in the chat room that Dr. Stevie or Stevie Richards, TNA and ECW and everywhere else is doing DDP Yoga now. And it's helping him out a lot, but the cool thing about it is that he posted a picture on his Twitter of, I guess, his daughter doing it, but we know that he's doing, like, the old-school DVD. He doesn't even have the new ones yet.
Oh, wow. So he's doing, Fat Burner Plus?
Yeah, Fat Burner, Fat Burner Plus. Yeah, I'm sure he's kicking it, but, man, he's going to – we sent him out the – DVDs today. I'm sure he's going to be excited to see the new layout and everything.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And last week, we already got a question in the chat room. I'm going to throw it out there. Katie's asking. Last week, she heard right. Did you hear right that gluten can lead to migraines?
I don't remember that. Yeah.
If it's come up somewhere, you might have heard me. I know I've had issues with it. Stacy, have you ever had headaches when you were on the stuff?
Well, I used to get headaches a lot more frequently when I was not eating clean, and it very well could have been, you know, exacerbated by the gluten, because it does directly affect inflammation. So why couldn't that, you know, be connected to the brain and whatever goes on with a headache?
Yeah, I have notoriously horrible sinuses, and it's a fantastic thing that I quit smoking a very, very long time ago, because, man, any kind of pollen, any kind of smoke, anything, man, my head just blows up. When I cut out the gluten and the dairy, my headache went away. I was taking ibuprofen, at the minimum 2 or 3 times a week. Now on a clean diet, I am lucky if I have to take that stuff once every couple months. I'm not shitting anybody. I mean, I don't have to. It would hurt if I did shit somebody, but no, I'm only taking. Yeah, thank you very much. You know, Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock. Always here. I never go anywhere.
Make sure you tip your waitresses.
Yes, please do. Robert will come sit with you for a while.
Yes.
Where you're from and what you do.
Okay, before we completely kill whatever momentum we have.
Bring us back.
We've already got 2 callers on the air, so on hold. So whenever you guys want to go to them, just let me know.
Okay. So what we have for you tonight is a great topic that Stacy brought to us earlier in the week. So why don't you flip it out there for him, Stacy?
Okay. Well, I don't know if anyone read my promo on Facebook, but I kind of threw the topic out there by saying, you know, there's 5 pounds more of me to love. And this is kind of it was a relatively new development, and it happened rather quickly because I had, and I still do, some sort of an injury / issue with my knee. And it's made me become sedentary. And I was, you guys know how into working out I've been these past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great for a lot of reasons, but one of them is it's eating insurance. You know, I still love food and I enjoy food, but I noticed pretty early on, and I said in my promo that I consider this all to be really good news because it's always learning, you know. And what was really cool about gaining 5 pounds was now that I, you know, for 2-3 years now I've been eating clean. And that just changes everything. It changes how I react to unclean foods. It changes my mental clarity. And it really gets me in touch physically with how my body's operating. So I knew, even before getting on the scale, and 5 pounds is not a lot, but I could feel the change. So uh-huh. That really showed me that I'm really in touch with my body. Whereas, you know, years ago, I would have just tuned it out and I would have said, you know, screw it, I want to keep eating, or I'm just going to put on some stretch pants and forget about wearing jeans again, you know? And
now,
sure enough, and I... What?
Would you have really said screw it, or would it have been a little bit harder on you?
Yeah, I might have said something, you know, that ended in a K, you know? But
fire truck!
But I thought that's really cool because my estimate was right. I figured it was about 5 pounds. And I wanted to really deal with it. And I didn't want, because you guys know, and I don't know how many others out there know from my story, I've regained my weight back twice.
Mm-hmm.
100 pounds back twice. And I don't feel like I'm in that place anymore psychologically. But gaining weight is really, it's a common thing. Fluctuating is a common thing. And I think when it starts to kick in, it can be scary, it can be discouraging. And I just decided, even if I can't work out still, I'm going to get a handle on this in whatever way I can. So I started to really immediately clean up my eating. I hadn't been going on, you know, benders or anything, but I'd been eating differently, a little heavier than normal, like more meat, more meats and processed meats and hot dogs. No gluten, but, you know, and I was doing the namaste cake mixes. And actually, I can do all that if I'm active. But if I'm not active, I can't. So it's a little bit, yeah, so I cleaned it up. And I'm not obsessed with the scale, but I just did this as an experiment. I weighed myself Monday, and I weighed myself this morning just to see what the clean eating did with no exercise. And I was down a pound and a half. So the, what you're putting in your mouth is huge. It just has a huge effect. I have no timetable for, you know, it's not even the 5 pounds. It was the fact that I was suddenly going in a different direction. And that really got my attention. So I'm doing something about it, and I'm being very open about it because I want people to know how common it is. And you don't have to feel bad about it. But I would say be as proactive as you can, as early as you can in the game.
And I'm glad you brought that up because since coming back from the photo shoot, I've been quite a lazy ass myself. I've gone on this sort of weightlifting kick, and it was just something I needed to change because I really busted my ass with EDP yoga for 2 months up until the photo shoot, dropping 16 pounds, slimming up as best I could. So I just needed to take a break. I did the same thing with food. And I found myself eating a little heavier, you know. It was turkey bacon, but I was chowing 5 pieces in the morning. I was having some gluten-free oats. I was throwing some agave on top, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was enjoying my breakfast. I was enjoying my food. And, you know, I avoided the scale, too. It's amazing how the DDP yoga and, that sort of mental positive attitude about when you realize things, you know, it's not about the scale, it's about how you feel. When it's about how you feel, you get in tune, and when you get in tune, you can tell when something's a little off. And I felt that way this week, you know, after 2 weeks of doing that. So, but, you know, we do have some callers on the line, and maybe they have something to say about when they put a little bit of weight on. Who do we have?
Let me see. We've got somebody from the 17 area code.
That would be Chris.
What's up, brother?
What's up, brother?
Hey.
How's everybody going?
Going
good. How are you?
Good. Hanging in there. Sounds like everybody's been indulging there a little bit in the food, huh? Me too.
I think we're all
cheating lately, huh?
It's okay. It's okay to have a little bit every once in a while, but you know, it's funny. It's funny when you say it, when you do the cheating, because I think what some people do, and that's a good word, they feel that they're cheating, and when they cheat, they get angry. You know?
Yeah, I changed it. Instead of cheating, I call it treating.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my ways.
I mean, if you enjoy it, I think, you know, everyone who knows, have heard me talk, there's nothing that's really totally off limits, although I do say no gluten and no cow dairy. But I think it's really important to eat for enjoyment sometimes, too. But it's just quantity matters.
No, I agree 100%. That's, you know, a lot of people, when they're unhappy, they eat and they get those endorphins rushing. So, you know, eating some good food every now and again can actually change your mood altogether. It could actually be a good thing sometimes, depending on what it is you're putting in your body.
Hey, you start to numb yourself, like you said, with the endorphins and how your brain hits it. Like, I still have to get in the wheat belly a little bit more, but, you know, he said some things in there, and actually he would be a great guest on the show. So if everybody listening wants to ping him, it's Dr. William, I'll look it up and we'll find it. Tell him to come on the show. We're going to try to get him on here and talk about wheat belly.
That'd be awesome.
Grassroots people, that's what DDP yoga is all about. But he talks about how that impacts your brain like a drug. Like, you know, you eat and every 2 hours you're sort of on this roller coaster ride. And it's kind of crazy. I found myself, you know, having a little bit of gluten in my diet 2 weeks ago. And it was like, typically I can stop eating at 8 o'clock and I'm cool. I go to bed, you know, I do whatever I need to do, I go to bed and sleep. And then that week, I started bringing a little bit back in. Like 9 o'clock at night, I was like a monster. I was like the Hulk going through the cupboard. Like, I am just looking for anything to shove in my pie hole, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's exhausting, too.
It is. Do you find that the crappier you eat at night, the worse you feel the next day when you wake up?
Yeah. It's crazy because with my sinuses now, it's hitting me like it could be part of the spring and whatnot, but I wake up with like this mini hangover in the morning, and it's just kind of crazy, you know. But when I eat clean, it's like, you know, I wake up in the morning, boom, I'm ready to go. You know, and I wake up in the morning before my alarm. I've been sleeping in like the past few weeks. It's just been insane. Stress, food, your brain, gluten. When you're living an unhealthy life, man, it can really crash your system all over the place.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. And we've all lived pretty much, considering what we know now, such an unhealthy life. It's, you know, for most of our lives, it's really easy to fall right back into it again.
You know, I had
a passing in my family, and I pretty much gorged on everything I could get my hands on, especially at the, you know, us Italians, we pretty much party afterwards, and we had a whole buffet, and I mean, you name it, we had it, and I ate everything from A to Z, and everybody's looking at me like, aren't you gluten-free and all this stuff? And
not today.
But in the end, I ended up paying for it. I got actually pretty sick because I haven't had really any. I had no dairy in me. I've been doing the silk. I've been doing that. So I've had like absolutely no dairy in me. Bread, I pretty much cut out all bread, period. I don't even eat the gluten-free stuff that I get. It's like a brick anyways. It's not even that good. But just from eating the bread, the little rolls, cookies, I mean, I was hurting the next day. I felt like I had basically drank the whole night. So it wasn't a good feeling.
Well, you brought up a good thing, Stacey. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I experienced it a couple months ago. It was actually right around when it was the midterm last year. Having a lot of stress from, like, family. Sometimes it's a family member passing, which it was in my case, too. Sometimes it's people, you know, bringing you family stress kind of leads you to eating. Sometimes that'll pack the 5 pounds on, because I found myself... Family's Italian too. People bringing over bins and bins of pots, and I'm like, okay, just a bowl. You know?
And it's so easy to fall right back into it again. It really, really is scary.
It definitely is. And then you got to pull yourself out of the tailspin. But it's like, I found, and Stacey, you might know, like, what do you think that got you to the point where you knew? Sort of, you said you kind of felt that 5 pounds, you kind of knew what was going on. Do you think it was like the habit, building the healthy habits and being able to get past that, so it became ingrained?
Well, I mean, my good habits became ingrained. And also, you know, I was used to being at, you know, that particular size. And when I started to bloat, maybe because I'm a smaller size now, I could see it. Whereas, you know, when I was at a bigger size, if I put weight on, I never noticed it for a lot of reasons. And I felt it. I just felt heavier. I didn't feel as energetic. And, you know, the jeans were getting snug. So it was a combination. And just feeling that something was off, you know, in general. And also, you know, I don't feel as good when I don't work out. I think you get a lot of positive hormonal activity and endorphins and things like that when you're active. And that was kind of contributing to the overall malaise.
Yeah.
And,
oh, it does.
Yeah.
That's
how I knew. And back when I was binge eating, I wouldn't be able to I could put on 10, 15 pounds and not even be aware of it. So I didn't look at this as a horrible thing. I looked at it as it's really good information, and it shows me how far I've come physically and emotionally, that I'm so in tune that I immediately was aware of the 5 pounds.
Yeah, body awareness is definitely a good thing, like somebody said in the chat room. And, you know, we got a bunch of people calling in, so let's hit somebody else here. Chris, thanks for calling in, bro.
Thanks,
stick around,
Chris.
And hold me. So who we got? Stacy or the panel?
Yeah, we've got a question from, or a call from the 603 area code this time.
Yeah, what's up, guys? This is Mike. I called a couple weeks ago.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just got to tell you, this show really spoke to me. When I read Stacy's promo, I said I got to call in again because I'm almost in the same boat as you, but it's kind of really different. And I was really stressing out about it at first. And I actually got a call from BDP this week because I wrote him an email on the board. And that put my mind at ease. My girlfriend said something that really put my mind at ease. So I'm going to share my story. I have been doing unbelievably amazing. I've been hitting yoga, DDP yoga 6 days a week. My rest day is like hell for me because I just want that like rush. I want that good feeling. I'm doing great. My eating lifestyle has been improved so much. I lost 110 pounds a couple years ago. But I got to tell you, I always felt like I was cheating the system. I always felt like I know I'm not doing the right things. I'm losing weight the wrong way. I'm either binging and then like not eating for hours on end, and then so I had lost weight, but I always knew I was doing the wrong thing. And as I wrote to DDP in the email I sent him recently, I said, "Really, you're gonna have to pry my dead hands off this yoga mat when I go because I'm not. This is like me now. This is me now. This isn't. I can't imagine myself living without it." So my first 4 weeks I weighed in, I was down 19.6 pounds. And the week after I weighed in, I was down 0.2 pounds. And I'm like, really? I'm used to losing 4 or 5 pounds a week. Why am I, you know? But my girlfriend put it in perspective into me. She goes, "You never worked out before. You're going to hit that lull, but I can feel it. I feel my clothes getting tighter. I mean, I'm not, sorry, looser. I feel my clothes getting looser. I'm fitting into things I haven't fed into in years." So I kind of got in the phone horn with DDP, and he said, you know, the scale is something, but it isn't everything. And I want people to realize that, too, that, you know, the scale goes up and down no matter how well you're doing sometimes. Because I was, like, heartbroken. I'm like, really, 0.2 pounds? And but it really is. The scale isn't everything, and it's really, you know, how you feel is the measurement, true measurement to how well you're doing on this program because – you know, I was really heartbroken because I'm like 0.2 pounds. I don't know if you guys have ever had weeks where you just like, it's not hitting on the scales, but you're feeling amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've had months like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. When I was doing Weight Watchers and stuff and I knew I was dieting the wrong way, I could easily take off 5-6 pounds a week if I wanted to, focusing on it. And I hate to sound cliche because every person like has that excuse when they put on weight. Oh, it must be all muscle. It has nothing to do with the ring dings I was shoving down my throat all week. It's muscle. But I really was. I see my biceps growing. I see my chest being more defined. And I feel like amazing. I think that's the true measurement. I think the scale is something, but the true measurement to how you feel is when you're buttoning up that shirt that didn't fit you last week and you're getting those buttons closed. And that's the true measurement of how you feel and how you're feeling inside, how I have more energy than I've ever felt in my life.
Absolutely.
I so agree. In general, I don't weigh myself often, you know, maybe once a month.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get obsessed with that, and it's not an accurate measure. It doesn't tell the whole story.
Yeah.
But it tells something, and I also don't want to get to the point where I avoid it either.
Yeah, exactly. I was talking to Sparky on the chat rooms the other day. I work in radio myself. I'm the music director for 50,000 watt station here up in New Hampshire, and I do stand up comedy. So I'm doing like 5 nights a week. I'm out and about. I'm either doing promotions for the radio stations at bars, restaurants. There's always food thrown in front of our faces, and before I would have made any excuse in the world not to come home and work out. I would have been like, oh, I ate too much. Oh, I'm feeling bloated because I had too much to drink. Oh, this, that. I'd make any excuse. It's so crazy because my girlfriend's like, I never would have pictured you as the guy who worked out. I swear it's an addiction. It really is. It's a good addiction because I can't wait to get on that mat and I can't wait to drop into child position and then feel my muscles just, you know, relax. I threw out my back a couple weeks ago. I got on the board a couple days ago, actually. I got on the board, the DDP message board, and I was asking all the guys there. I'm like, well, I hurt my back. I know I should listen to my body, and I'm going to listen to my body, but I'm wondering if this will be beneficial to work out or beneficial to take a day off. And everyone there was really supportive. They said, you know, do what your body feels. You know, if you have to modify things, do what you can do. If not, don't worry about it. And I did a light energy workout that day, worked out all the kinks in my back. I felt like $1 million afterwards. I went from not being able to bend over to, like, being able to do everything. I just felt, like, amazing. I feel like this is too good to be true. I feel like it's a gimmick, you know?
Yeah, well, Mike, you hit one of the big things there, and I'd like to tell anybody who's listening, especially if they're new, I think they think it's bullshit when we tell them, you know, or they think that we're kind of playing them off when we say, you know, do what you feel, do what your body feels. But what people don't realize is that you're talking to people that have been doing this for, you know, 30, 60, 90 days, a year, 2 years.
Yeah.
And the thing about the program and the excitement in which you get, it's a lifestyle. This isn't a diet. It's not 90 days. Like in 90 days, oh, don't take a break because you're going to lose something. But you know what? When you realize that you're making a lifestyle change and this is going to be something that's going to stick with you for a while, and mm-hmm. I think this is part of the thing that, you know, goes along with what Stacy's talking about and knowing your body, once you know that you're in it to win it and you're going to be here for a while, one day today to take care of your body and sort of take that rest,
yeah,
is going to do so much more for you than if you just keep battering yourself and run right into that wall.
Well, the thing is, before it would that would have killed any momentum I had. It would have been the end of it. That's like, okay, I didn't work out today, might as well not work out tomorrow. Well, I took the 2 days off, might as well take the week off. I'll get back into it next week. Next week doesn't happen, so it's 2 weeks. Oh, I might as well take the month off. I'll get back to it on the first. You know, I couldn't wait to get back into it. Before, it would have been a reason to stop. It would have been a reason. Oh, I don't need to complete this week. I already missed a day, and that's the thing. It's not P90X where I'm going to do it for 3 months, get ripped, and then I'm going to stop because I can't keep up that pace for the rest of my life. This is the rest of my life.
Yeah.
This is me from now on.
I have two questions for you.
Yes.
I have two questions for you, Mike. The first is a request from a Team DDP Yoga member, Nicholas Daly,
yep.
who would like you to add him on teamddpyoga.com.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the second is, this is clearly now you're in the flow, and this is a habit for you, and it's a way of life. Did you have any resistance in the beginning to doing it regularly?
I didn't have any resistance to doing it. Well, here's what happened. When I first started, I was in desperate need of something. I told this guy the story last time I was on the air. I think you were out sick or something. But I was a retired independent wrestler. I did it for 8 years. My body was ravaged. My knees were blown out. My shoulders reconstructed, both of them. I could barely get around at work without having to sit down every 5 minutes. The doctors, all they do is they keep popping the pain pills down my throat. They give me a prescription every month and send me on my way because there's nothing they can do right now. They pretty much told me I needed a hip replacement within 5 years. So I knew I needed to do something. And the first thing I did, because as a wrestler, I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with the wrestling business, but we think everybody's a carny. We think everything's a gimmick. We think everyone's out to swerve us. Everyone's out to screw us. So I heard DDP's doing yoga. I'm like, oh, yeah, then what's the angle on this one, you know?
Yes.
And so, but I started watching the videos. I saw Arthur, and I'm like, and like I told you guys, I'm like, there's no way to Photoshop Arthur. You can't airbrush abs on Arthur. That's impossible. So I knew that this was going to work for me because I wasn't going to let it not work for me. And I downloaded his MP3, Own Your Life, the MP3 that you can get off the site. I downloaded it. And for the first time, like before, if I had listened to something like that, I would have blown it off. But I sat there with a notebook and took notes. And I just sat there and I said, failure is not an option, as he says there. And it's not an option. It's like either I'm going to fail at this and I'm going to be crippled by the time I'm 40, or I can just make this my life and I can live again. Because my girlfriend, she said to me, and I didn't want to admit it, but I was horribly depressed. I couldn't get around. We'd go into town, into the city, and she'd literally have to help me hobble back to my car. So I knew that this was my way of getting it out. This is my way of not having a hip replacement in 5 years. This is my way of living my life without being in misery again. Because it just didn't click. It was like a light switch. I hate to say it because it's not that easy for everybody. But for me, this was the only way to do it.
That's how it worked for me. The listening to the Own Your Life at that when I first started with Dallas, that's how we got it. We had the old school YRG DVDs that he sent me, and he sent me a CD of Own Your Life, and it clicked for me.
Yeah,
Robert, you cut out. I don't know if you stopped or cut out, but
both.
One thing I was going to say along those lines, and I think what DDP Yoga gives you, and the one of the lines that I pulled out. And it gives you the solution to this. No one can do more damage to you than you.
I have that saying posted on my wall in my kitchen.
Yep. Yeah. It's damage, mentally damage, physically damaged. You know, you are damaged goods in any state before you come to DDP yoga. I guarantee you there's some aspect of your life where you are damaged goods.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it sounds really cheesy, but I almost think of it not as a religion, but a way of life now. I live by DDP's philosophy, and I become so much more of a positive person. My girlfriend notices how much happier I am, how I don't let things affect me anymore. At work, I'd be working 14-hour days, and I'd hate everybody. Now it's just like I don't let it get to me because, you know what? Like you said, 90% of what happens to you is, 10% of what happens to you, 90% is how you react to it. And I keep that in my mind every day. I'm like, okay, I can sit here and bitch about everybody and complain about everyone and get mad at everyone, or I can take it, move forward, and everyone's going to have a better day because of it. I mean, it's really kind of scary how much this has changed my life because I'm like, I'm not me anymore, but I like the new me. This is crazy.
Before coming, I mean, you can be a complete dick and have everybody hate you and be the most miserable man on the face of the planet, miserable woman on the face of the planet. Nobody will want to spend time with you. Nobody will want to talk to you. Nobody will want anything from you. And then you'll sit and wonder why you're like that. Or you could own your life, just like you said, and be a positive person, change your life, change your body, change everything. For anybody who's listening, though, if you had a question for Stacy, myself, Robert, wanted to jump into the topic, Mike's on the line, Chris was on the line, 347-994-1216 is the number. And, Mike, I want to thank you for the call. I think we got some other people lined up, so I want to let them jump
in. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate
Thanks,
it. I'll
Mike.
Talk to you guys soon.
Okay. Thanks.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.
So who else do we have out there?
Well, we had somebody else up, but it looks like they just dropped. We had it going great too. If you're on hold, there are two people on hold that don't have their flags up. Just hit two on your dial pad, so we know you want to talk.
Yeah. So that was an awesome call. Mike is a really cool guy, and he's like Chris. You can feel the energy from these guys coming in, and okay, so. You know, people, it's not bullshit, and they're not peddling it, and they're not a mark. But actually, you say they're not a mark, but once you get here, you become a mark, I think, in some way. You know,
absolutely.
Because you can't help but to buy into it. You buy into it. It's a lifestyle change. You know,
well, do you know where the word mark comes from?
Give us some education, Robert.
Okay, yeah, this is my educational segment for the day. Back in the Carney days, they would have, they were looking for the idiots. So by the entrance to the tent, they would have one guy looking for people who could be fooled. So they would put a little chalk mark on their back so the people inside would know that these guys could be taken. So Mark is kind of an idiot.
That's cool. I know that. You know, DDP would run out of chalk trying to catch up with the thousands of people who are following DDP Yoga right now. I think aren't we up over 2,000 members now?
We're
close.
Yeah, very close. And we actually have that caller from 770 area code.
Hi.
Hey, who
Terry.
Are you?
Hey, it's Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Oh,
Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hey. Just listen to all this good stuff. And I was thinking about Stacy because I had called her and just kind of hit a day, if you remember that conversation, because I'd just been thinking about you for a few days.
Uh-huh, yep.
And I called you and you were saying, I just kind of gained a few pounds. I've been able to work out, and we were just talking about that.
Yeah, and you somehow picked up on it, you know, that something was wrong, even before I got to you.
But you make good points about it because it's been years since you've been doing it, and for me it's been, I don't know, 11 years, so I try and remember or catch it because I have this awareness, and that's what you develop, is the trust in yourself that you you are going to do this forever, and so you catch that, and you just adjust. I mean, I always said it's about a 5-pound limit. When the jeans get tight, that reminds you, like, I must be eating too much crap, or not working out, or, you know, in the same way, when you hurt yourself and you have to back off your workout, we don't think to back off the food along with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And I learned firsthand that you do, or at least I do, you know.
Well, but the great thing is you make the connection. That's the mm-hmm. hugest thing. And that's
yeah.
the pat on the back, because your life's going to take you in little waves of sickness or injury or whatever, or even your attitude or your mood, but that you trust yourself and you've established the habit enough that, you,
yeah.
that you'll go back and fix it, because it's not the diet. When I talk to new people that say, oh, I can't wait to lose my weight and in 6 months I'll be me again, it's like, ooh, that's going to be trouble, because that was the mm-hmm. you that got you here. That you have to, like, evolve or change. And that's what you've been doing, and that's really huge. That's what you should. It wasn't the 5 pounds; it was you were aware of it.
Yeah, and I just know because of my pattern in the past, I didn't want to go into denial, and I just couldn't. I guess I'm not that same person. And I was telling this. I was having a cell phone conversation with my sister today, telling her about it, and a woman over, I could tell she overheard me, and she kind of looked back, she kind of gave me this disgusted look, like, oh, here's this woman griping about 5 pounds, but she had no idea the whole context of my story, and 5 pounds is not a big deal, but I wanted to reverse the direction I was going in, and I'm kind of like singing it from the rooftops now. First I was like, oh, I don't want to talk about this to anybody, but then I realized I have to, because it's a very common experience, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just, it's life. You know, sometimes life gets in the way, injuries happen, emotional eating happens, and it's back to that 90%. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do about it?
Exactly. And that this is the team group that you do talk about it with, or that's why you and I have had a rapport for a long time. Because
and
you want to share it.
Yeah, and you showed me that, because you, when you shared with me that you have, you know, you have fluctuations and sometimes you have bad days and you go for the gluten-free cookies sometimes, then I realized I didn't have to be this robot that didn't do anything but lose weight, you know. It was a big load off of me.
Well, for a while, I try to be careful about that, because when I'm trying to encourage people and to go forward and do these things, I'm not really going to just share all my little crises. But I particularly remember, I think it was my birthday, you called it, wish me happy birthday, and I was having
mm-hmm.
a tough time. And it's like, we've been
yeah.
talking about stuff, I can tell you, Lodi, you can straighten me out. But that's the thing about the group. We're all interested in the same thing. We're just at different levels of acquiring it or keeping it. And so this
yeah.
is the one. I think that's the beauty of this, is to have a place to go to, and people take
think,
the time
yeah.
here. So
yeah, I think
right.
that's perfect. Carrie, I think you hit the nail on the head, because all these new people are coming in, and we had like I think a record number in the past 10 days. There were like 70 people that joined. So we're quickly catching up to the 100 every 10 days mark, which is crazy. But even 70 people, new 70 people coming in every 10 days, you will find somebody here at Team DDP Yoga who walked in your shoes. You know, they know the journey that you're taking, where you started, and can give you some advice. There is somebody here that you can relate
mm-hmm. to. Right.
That's right. And Terry, I've got a question from one of our listeners who wanted to know about the connection between gluten and migraines. And can that contribute to migraines?
Yes, yes it can. I learned that not from my doctors, but from the nutritionist, who's the one that diagnosed me. I credit her saving me, because I had lost weight and been healthy for a few years, and then I was getting sick. But that's, I don't have migraines, but that is one of the symptoms from gluten. It can do so many things. It's, most of what doctors know, and me as a nurse, what we learned about celiacs and intolerance was it was a colon issue. So they only seem to diagnose people who are the typical celiac that have all that irritable bowel and diarrhea and bloating, and sometimes they pick it up with reflux. But if you're atypical, like I was, I don't have any colon symptoms unless I eat gluten now. I had all the autoimmune diseases because gluten, it destroys the villi in your colon silently, I might point out. Mm-hmm. And so the villi is what absorbs all the vitamins and minerals. So then you get all kinds of other diseases and problems, migraines, you get anemia, you get asthma, all these things. But doctors start treating the separate diseases, and it takes a long time for them to gather up, oh, well, you got five diseases here. What else is the problem? And celiacs usually, as we diagnosed them, were young because they were failure to thrive and they had all these colon things. But we're getting this new generation of 40, 50-year-olds, premenopausal, postmenopausal type age, getting the atypical like me, and it's because of the foods and the change. They believe in all this nutrition and chemicals in your food and all this gluten and the genetically modified wheat. The wheat I had as a child at 60 is not the wheat you 30 or 40-year-olds had. And so we're getting celiacs more and more, or the intolerant people at a very young age who aren't being diagnosed because it isn't really a colon disease necessarily anymore.
And, Terry, if you want to roll with it, we just had Steve, and I wanted to give a shout-out for Steve. I haven't seen him in a while. I haven't talked to you in a while, actually. You've been around. But he has, speaking of gluten, he wanted to know if there was a difference between wheat gluten and corn gluten, and talking about the sensitivity of both.
Yes. Because corn gluten is allowed. Now, there's a lot of talk in the Wheat Belly book I was finished reading and that talked about how they don't really think corn is a good food either because it's being genetically modified. That's the trouble with a lot of the foods. But as far as an intolerance, as a gluten intolerance, corn gluten you can have, and you're going to start seeing that in the foods that used to be gluten, wheat, starch. Now you're seeing corn starch and potato starch and all of these new starches, and that's taking the place of gluten because in your processed food, that's what's holding the stuff together. That's what makes it sticky. That's what makes the bread rise instead of be a brick. That's what makes, like even shredded cheese used to have gluten. That was wheat starch that put it, once they shredded it, they didn't want it to clump in the package. So now if you read it, because some can still have wheat, but now you can read it'll say cornstarch or potato starch or something else. But some people find corn, and a lot of nutritionists think corn's an inflammatory food, just like a lot of nutritionists don't like oatmeal because it's inflammatory. Mm-hmm. And it's all about inflammation. Aging and disease is all about inflammation. So I've been paying a lot more attention and reading more because I'm older. And so I'm thinking these next 20 years are different than when I was 30 or 40 and think, oh, I got 30, 40 years to mess around. Now I don't. So it's all about inflammation for me.
And Terry, you've had some really cool results from reading Wheat Belly.
I have. Dallas asked me to read it so we could have a long chat about it. And so I like to practice what I read, you know, and see, like, am I buying into this? And I do understand it's all about insulin and belly fat. As a nurse, I understood that. So Wheat Belly, I started doing it about 6-7 weeks ago, and I lost 10-12 pounds now. About 12 pounds.
Wow.
But it's come off the spots that are left. For the first time, it's off my fanny and off my hip.
What have you done differently since reading that book?
In that book, two things. It reminded me that crap is still crap. Junk food is junk food. So our gluten-free food is still junk. Now, I knew that in my head, but, you know, when I started being a celiac in 07, there wasn't anything out there. And if there was anything processed that I could buy, it tasted awful, and try making something. But in the last couple of years, we're mainstream. There's some delightful foods you can make. But a lot of it is potato flour, tapioca flour. All those are still simple carbs. I mean, some are brown rice and that are a blend. And every time you see the word potato starch, corn starch, substitute the word sugar. That I'd forgotten about. And so that's raising your insulin the same way. Now, it's not as inflammatory as gluten is to eat, but he says it's all about not so much the wheat, because he thinks that's poison for everybody, but it's about the insulin rise. And that's what I see in the world of diabetics as a nurse, and why we have children who are diabetic. When I was a nurse, there was no child diabetic except type 1. Now, pediatricians had to go back to learn how to care for diabetic children. And diabetes is a lifestyle disease, except obviously type 1, where your pancreas doesn't make it. And so it's all about the food we eat and about us sitting at the computer and sitting at playing Xbox, and nobody's moving their body, and everybody is eating garbage foods instead of live foods. And that's what he said to do. If you have belly fat, then you're getting too much insulin. And 2 slices of whole wheat toast is the same as 2 tablespoons of sugar. We don't think of it like that, because you say we do need some carbs, complex carbs, but a half a cup is the serving. You need 1 or 2 of those servings a day. Think how much more we get. So that's what I cut out. I haven't had any processed food. Well, that's a lie. I had 2 gluten-free brownies in the last month. 2 months. But that's it.
Wow.
So I'm not saying psychologically I love this and I'm never eating crap again, because I will. But what I did was I started eating every day, like, oh, I can have a cookie or a little bit of coconut ice cream. I never ate very much. So that's why it started being piece of my day instead of a treat on a weekend.
Yeah.
And so I slowly slipped into that. The other thing I noticed was, yeah, the 5 pounds, I never got more than that in 3 to 5 pounds, but my body got softer because the food was just more insulin-based. Insulin makes fat.
So you got softer.
Yes, and so even though I was still in the jeans, I was jiggling a little more. And this is the first time I'm thinking, as I look in the mirror, I'm the weight I was in college, and I'm firming up. Like, maybe I'll look at myself and not always go, well, that's the girl with the twerker thighs from Band. I might actually, my shoulders and my hips and everything are the same. And it's only because I stopped eating processed food. That's all I did different. Now, some of it would be less calories, because how much broccoli are you going to eat, you know, with your chicken? But, you know, I still have a little tequila and tonic water on a weekend, a drink or so, but I just cut out any of the extra sugars to see, will this work? And it does. And I feel better. And it reminded me to juice. I've been juicing for years and years. But sometimes I get tired of cleaning the juicer. I get mad at it, and I put it away for a couple of months. And I forget how good I felt, and then I get it back out. And have a great energy and actually not many clothes, because this is the first time I've changed the size in 10 years, and it's gone smaller. And so that's kind of deep at my age, too. I'm really excited.
That's cool.
So fantastic.
Read the book. Even if you don't follow Wheat Belly, if you need to get like a refocus or just to regroup on, you want to be lean, yes. Do you want to be healthy and lean? Do you want to slow down the inflammation? And for me, it's like, I don't want to be older and be on the bypass table or a stent. But importantly, I don't want to be a diabetic, because they have a rough time as they age.
Yeah.
You know? And then my hormone doctor is having me read the gene diet regarding Alzheimer's genes and how you turn off and on genes with nutrition. So I have a next book on that about limiting your saturated fats and being more careful because I do carry one of the Alzheimer genes. I don't want to become what my father was if I can help it. So if that means even less brown, so be it.
I was going to say, is all that really worth it right now when you start to think about it? Because all the impacts of diabetes and everything else really hurt. But one of the things, we had some questions in the chat room I wanted to hit real quick. Katie was talking about trying to get information on wheat belly or maybe having somebody look at that and look at the connection to gluten and wheat without maybe having them read the book, sort of as an intro if somebody's averse to reading. I might suggest hitting Wheat Belly on YouTube. William Davis is a doctor who wrote the Wheat Belly book, and he's got a few very short videos up there. He's even got two that he gives that are broken into 2 20-minute talks as part of 1 40-minute talk. So if you don't want to read, watch them.
Right.
And
Arthur was creating an outline because he sent me notes and I added my thoughts back, so it would be kind of an outline of the book. I don't know if he put that out there yet or not. So that kind of is a short version. And Dr. Davis, he is a cardiologist in Wisconsin, and he has a practice, obviously, of heart patients who were diabetics who swear they weren't eating their sugars because everybody thinks of sugar as that cookie or piece of pie.
Yes.
And yet their insulin was high. And so that was what drove him to talk about
this. I know somebody who has been diabetic for a while, and they just went to a nutritionist, and they're trying to manage their sugar throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of eye-opening to watch them starting to open their eyes to it because they're like, well, I can have carbohydrates, and so they can have their sugars. And I can have 36 grams at when I sit down. And, you sit down and you watch somebody, when they actually have to readjust, when you actually think of how little 36 grams of carbs are.
Actually, it's not much.
It's 2 slices of bread. It's a large yogurt. It might be, a large apple or 2 medium apples. There's... It's not much. And a lot of people, I'm just going to sit down, I'm going to have my bowl of pasta with 2 pieces of bread, I'm allowed to have 36 grams of carb. Whoa!
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's a good idea. I think it's a good eye-opener for people to take a look at this information, but then also, don't just read it. Go back and apply it. And look at your diet. I wonder how many people have actually gone back and then tried to write down, this is what I had. Maybe track yourself for 2 days. This is what I ate. This is the calories, and here's the carbs associated with everything. I think some people would probably be amazed at what they're actually putting in their body every day.
Food journaling is really a good idea. I guess I didn't really do it, but it truly is. Especially if you're someone who hasn't been focused on that, to write it down, and not just the food, but how you felt, particularly if it was cookies and cake or a binge kind of a thing, because that starts to help you zero in on why you're eating, because we eat for so many reasons other than hunger. And to figure out when you're hungry, you need to eat. When you're upset or sad, you need to go step on the mat or you need to go hit a pillow. In fact, the first 2 or 3 days when I started the Wheat Belly thing, I was starting to get a little antsy, pacey at night because I could tell I went through an insulin withdrawal because you can tell when you pull out the sugar and then your insulin's going all over the place and you're plunging and trying to get balance. And my husband said to me, I must have been a little cranky. He said, why don't you go step on the mat? I said, I already worked out. And he goes, no, I mean just go upstairs and stand on your mat. And then come back later. Once I get on the mat, it's always like that. Even if I don't really want to and I begrudgingly go, I go stand on my mat, I start breathing, start moving, and you work through it.
That's a great idea. That's actually a great idea.
I really recommend that. It always clears my head. I have a gym room, and I just go on the mat and breathe. And some days, even though I always go into workouts, some workouts are better than others, but I show up. And if it's nothing less than more than a great stretch out, but I breathe, it calms me, it centers me. Mm-hmm. And it stabilized me for all these years. And that one, it triggered me. It just helped me push through it and clear my head. So I wasn't really hungry. It was just all that chemical stuff. When you're working out, you balance yourself physiologically and psychologically.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I can't work out, but I do some mild moves, and I stretch and breathe. And that does help.
Yeah, getting your mind back. As far as not letting it take you over, so the food takes you over, is huge. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really big thing, absolutely. So, well, guys, we're tapping out at about 10 o'clock. If we got any last-minute questions, Robert, we got anybody on the phone hanging out?
Right now we don't know.
Okay. And, okay. There was a quick request from Steve. I guess there was another book that you had brought up, Terry, that you were reading. And if we can get the name of it, we'll put it up on the reading list on the site. So if you want to shoot Robert or I that name, we'll get it up there.
Oh, the Gene book?
Yeah, the Gene book.
Yes, I will. And especially if anybody, Stacy, I know because both our fathers have Alzheimer's, my dad. If you haven't been tested for the Alzheimer gene, you may want to do that. I wasn't sure I did, and I went to a brain disease seminar, and that's when I first was listening to that months ago. And then when my doctor, I saw the hormone doctor, she said, we need to do that because as your mind gets fuzzier sometimes without hormones, we need to know clearly what's the cause of it. But that might, you know, tell you a little more about what's going on in your body.
Yeah, definitely. I, you know, sort of hitting it up for anybody out there who's listening, if you're brand new and you've heard what we've been talking about tonight, I think for me the biggest thing, guys, is remember it's a lifestyle change. You know, one of the quotes and one of the things that I like to stick to sort of as a mantra is that permanent change doesn't come from temporary choices. DDP yoga and what it teaches you is, you know, gluten-free, dairy-free workouts, you know, staying paused, keeping with the community, making friends, moving your life forward. It's all about a lifestyle change, not a 90-day temporary choice, you know?
That's right.
It's not something that you stop. So, with that, you guys have any last thoughts? Anything you want to throw out there before we kick it?
I think I'm going to go read Wheat Belly. Thanks for all the ideas, Terry.
You're welcome. I'm going to read my Gene diet and see what else I have to give up. Just keep eating live food as best as you can. That's the thing to do, is eat real food.
Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong.
You can't really.
Absolutely not. And keep coming back to Team DDP Yoga and DDP Radio, where you get people like Stacy and Terry calling in, giving you guys great information every week. You know, Robert and I are just here to, you know, make the show look pretty next to them, too. You know, so I want to thank all our callers tonight, Chris for calling in, Mikey for getting on the line, saying what's up, everybody in the chat room. Always appreciate all the support. You know, Terry,
yeah.
Stacy, Robert, thanks for hanging with us. And it was an awesome show, but we got to get out of here, and you got to go home. So when the 10% comes a-knocking, kick it right in the ass and live life at 90%.
Kicked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige.
Oh!
Into the Diamond Cutter.
I don't believe it. Diamond Cutter out of the powerbomb.
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.
Talk Radio.